Chris and Kira.
I'd rather put my nipples in a pencil shop.
Sunday to Thursday from 10
on 2FM. FM.
Yeah. You know, you're right.
I still love that song.
It's still really good.
And I walk around just thinking that I still love that song. I actually have it on my iTunes and I listen to it when I work out. And I love it. I still love it.
No, it's
and
brilliant.
I still listen to the whole song. You know the way now you can just flick to the next song or whatever? I listen to the entire version of Uptown Funk. I love it.
You know, it's one of the only big hit songs for me that has persevered, if you get me.
Yeah.
As in, Pharrell's Happy. God, I'm sick of that song. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And a few other songs. God,
come
I'm
on, Chris. Every song, because in fairness, we get oversaturated with them. Let's
I
be honest.
I suppose we hear them more
we
than
hear
others.
We hear them more than others, you know. So I hate a popular song within 2 weeks, but not Bruno Mars' Uptown Funk. I just love it.
No, I'm still on that Uptown Funk vibe as well. So most definitely. Anyway, good evening, everyone. What's going on? My name is Chris. This wonderful woman, her name is Q.
Hello.
Thanks as well, of course, to Louise for the last 2 hours. Let's give her a big round of applause. Absolutely. So, how does this sound? I'm going to explain to you what's going on over the next 12. Very busy show tonight, by the way. I don't know how we're going to fit it all in.
That's what she said.
Yeah.
I'm actually back watching the US Office again, so I'm hearing innuendo everywhere.
There's a season where they do That's What She Said, isn't there?
Mm-hmm.
For like,
actually, Steve Carell won an Emmy, Chris. And his whole speech was innuendo, and he got the crowd to say, "That's what she said." It was very funny.
That is very good.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there is a big show going on tonight, and I don't know how we're going to fit it all in. And that is no innuendo intended. Friend of the show, Emma Power, is going to be in a minute. We're going to be playing the fake celebrity news quiz, where Emma comes in, gives us 4 celeb news stories. However, here's the thing. One of them is fake. And it's a surprisingly fun game. You might listen and go, "That sounds like bollocks." It's actually surprisingly fun. Very good fun, even if you're not hugely up on your celeb news. So that's on the way.
Emma mixes it up every week.
See, that's what it is. It's always great fun. Then also on the way for you, friend of the show, Blind Boy, is going to be on. I'm really enjoying having Blind Boy on with us. And we are going to have a minister on. That's right. We are going to have a minister of the newest church in America. And I don't say that sarcastically. He has set up his own new church called the First Church of Cannabis. So, I mean, he's a big deal. And we're going to have him on as well. So, right, lads, we won't spend too long on this, but I really do quickly want to tell you the difference, okay? By the way, I have some facial hair. And Emma commented on my facial hair when she came in. Hi, Emma, by the way.
Hi.
Welcome to the studio.
I feel like our little boy has grown up. Doesn't
yeah.
he look really
I look very distinguished. I look very masculine. There is no question about
Chris
that.
Chris has got an awful lot hairier of late.
He has.
Well, I'll tell you why. It's because, thankfully...
He's in puberty.
Well, yes, my voice is kind of changing a little bit. I've noticed it's breaking, as sometimes it gets like very high, very low.
Me and Emma
low.
Should take you out for your first drink.
We should, yes.
Will you help me lose my virginity? Or the pair of you? Emma, what about you? You will. No, you will, Emma. Come on now, Emma. You seem like you'd do that. But look.
I mean, Kira will get you a friend.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that's what I mean.
That's
by
right.
That.
Thank you.
Well, anyway, I inadvertently said that shaving legs is much less difficult for women than, for example, a man shaving his face. Lads, a guy's face is his face. Like, you have to be way more careful. Like, with legs, you can just run
it. Are you talking about being careful?
No, not even. Like, just the difficulty of it.
Okay,
like,
Chris,
it's way more difficult.
Take the length of a face, okay?
Yeah.
And then take the length of 2 whole female
you
legs.
You can do it, no problem. You run it up a few times and it's done.
Yeah,
it's not
on.
The same at all.
Wait a sec. Chris, you cannot possibly know this unless you shave your legs yourself. And if you did shave your legs, you'd know that shaving your legs is way worse than shaving your facial hair.
But have you ever shaved your face?
Chris, I want you to come and shave your legs tonight. That's what I want you to do.
I want you to shave your face then.
Yeah, fine.
But like, it's really difficult. Like, you have to make sure you get it all around the lips and like under the nose.
Chris,
it's a difficult process.
Don't talk
process.
To us about lips, all right? Yeah. We know what we're talking about.
So you shave your lips? Really?
No, but you know what I'm trying to say, though.
No.
I'm sorry.
Oh.
He's like, now it's spelling
lips.
Out for me.
No, wait, now I get it. Yeah. You don't shave that, though.
No, well,
no girls shave. Like,
no girls would, yeah. Some girls
like
would.
Like with a razor. I suppose you can just do a quick old job of it if you're using
the
razor.
No, Chris, nothing is quick. Why do you think that it takes, like, less time?
Because I'm looking at my legs right now. I was like, if someone told me I have to shave these, I'd lather them up a little bit, get a thing and go, and it'll be done.
No,
but with your
no.
face, you can't do that.
Chris, it depends, number one, how long the hair on your leg is.
Well, I hope you're not letting it get too long now.
And I also can't
Nordic giantess. Like, I hope you're not, like...
I also can't believe, like, Chris, it takes... like literally, if you took from the bottom of your leg around your ankle,
yeah,
which you have to be really careful to get all the spots down there,
yeah,
all the way up, all around the knees, all the way up the thighs, and then the back of the leg.
It doesn't grow up your thighs, does it?
Light fluffy hair goes on top of your thighs.
Fair enough.
And then you don't want to quit your legs if you're going out and you're wearing a dress or a skirt or something.
Chris, I've taken chunks out of my leg. It's a dangerous
thing. Taking chunks out of my face,
especially around the ankle area. That's where I always
It's very dangerous.
Yeah. All right. Well, look, I think we should in some way test this in the future.
But you don't know what you're talking about.
You're not going to win. Women have to shave more than men have to shave. All you have to do is shave your face.
Do you shave under your arms, Chris?
No.
No, you don't.
No.
There you go. Yeah. Am I presuming that you shave under your arms?
Ladies, though, I would support you if you didn't want to shave under your arms. Like, I'm all for feminism and equality. You don't have to shave under your arms to be beautiful. But look,
you don't have to shave your face to be beautiful.
Thank you. Clearly not. Like, look at me. But look, how about this, right? We get down to some business. No. Apologies for that interlude, ladies. I just wanted to address that with you.
You're talking to your ass.
I am not. My ass is shaved, by the way. I shaved that. But look, here's the thing. My name is Chris, by the way. This is Kira.
Hello.
Joining us in the studio is friend of the show and fake celebrity news quiz mistress extraordinaire, Miss Emma Power. Let's give her a big round of applause. Emma, thank you for coming in. Now, it's good to have you in the studio with us. Now, Emma's Twitter is at EmmaPower87. At EmmaPower87. I remember this week. At EmmaPower87 is your Twitter, because I've been forgetting to give you your all social media props. So, at EmmaPower87 is your Twitter. And if we keep that in mind, we can also head on to Instagram. Instagram.com/EmmaPower87. You can go on there and you can give Emma a follow on those social medias. Yeah, mediums, whatever the word would be.
We were trying to get me to 1,000 a few weeks ago. We're now going to try and get me to 500,000, all right?
Yeah, sure. Fair enough. You and Obama. Absolutely. The pair of you. Well, look, how about this? Every week, Emma comes in and she plays the fake celebrity news quiz with us. Now, how this works is Emma gives us 4 celebrity news stories. However, one of them is going to be fake. One of these stories is going to be a blatant, barefaced lie concocted by Emma, okay? And we're going to have to try and guess which one it is. So we're going to hear 4 stories. Keep an ear out. So maybe your celeb knowledge is better than mine and Kira's, because we've not been doing so well lately. We need to get the fake story here. So Emma, I'm going to be keeping a track over here.
Who won last week, though?
I did last week, but like that was unusual. You know, I mean, it's not a trend. Yeah, it is. Yeah. So look, I mean, it's mainly you who's winning, Emma. So Emma, how about this? You give us the 4 stories. I'm going to be keeping a note over here of everything that's going on, and then we'll try and guess which the fake one is.
Okay, Grant. I've got a theme tonight.
Good.
Brilliant.
Animal attacks.
Animal attacks?
Yes.
That sounds scary.
Yeah.
All right. Well, so celebrities have been attacked by animals?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Does Bear Grylls feature in this?
No, he doesn't.
Okay.
Yeah, definitely not.
Well, then let's hear the first story.
Okay, so the first story is about Isla Fisher, who is married to Ali G.
Yes.
Sacha Baron Cohen.
Yeah.
She was left with a scar on her bum after she was pecked by a cassowary. Now, a cassowary is a bird, a large flightless bird from Australia.
Okay.
From the emu family.
All right.
And she was bitten by the bird on her bum during a trip to a wildlife park in Perth.
You would bite her on the bum, though, in fairness. Like, you know, that's something special. So, Isla Fisher... left with a scar on her bum, as Emma puts it. I like how Emma doesn't say ass or anything like that. She's really like nice, and she says bum. That's nice. Was pecked by a bird there. All right. Yeah. What's story number 2?
Story number 2 is that Ryan Seacrest was bitten by a shark while he was swimming off the coast of Mexico in 2008. So he got nipped in the foot.
The shark even
left a tooth behind.
Oh shit.
Ooh.
Oh no.
Yeah.
So Ryan Seacrest bitten by a
shark. Ryan Seacrest. Sorry.
Poor Ryan Seacrest though. Like if he got bitten anywhere important, like he's a good looking man. Do you know what I mean? That'd
be his
thing.
Do you honestly think Ryan Seacrest is good looking?
Isn't
he handsome?
Is he not handsome though?
I don't think
he is handsome.
He looks like a Ken doll.
Yeah, but like I don't know. Like, look, don't get me wrong, I'm not into him, but is he not handsome?
He's not as manly, Chris, as you with that facial
hair. No, he needs to get some of my facial hair. Mm-hmm. Then he'd be a cute guy. All right, what's story number 3?
Gordon Ramsay was attacked by a puffin that he was hunting with the intent to cook. He received 3 stitches on his nose as a result of the encounter.
Oh, dear. All right. So that's story number 3. What? Gordon Ramsay attacked by a puffin.
Yeah, why would you want to hunt and kill a puffin?
I didn't know he could eat those.
I can't imagine they're very tasty.
No.
They're cute.
They just look like kind of joke birds, if you get me. Like fun birds.
They're cute.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. What a bastard. But anyway, there. What's story number 4?
Story number 4 is that Susan Sarandon was almost killed by a jealous female dolphin when she was swimming because she petted the female's friend. And the female got a bit jealous and came up.
Dolphins are very like people, apparently. Mm-hmm. So that could be it. You know, the girl dolphin was like, hey, screw this. Susan Sarandon's good looking, right? She probably didn't want her near her man, if you get what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
Listen to this. Wow, God, I have no idea which one could be the fake one here. Here are 4 stories, okay? I'm going to run through them with you really quickly again. One of these is fake. Isla Fisher was left with a scar on her bum after being attacked by a bird. Story number two, Ryan Seacrest was bitten by a shark. Story number three, Gordon Ramsay had stitches because a puffin attacked him while he was trying to, I don't know, get it to eat it or whatever. And story number four, Susan Sarandon was almost killed by a dolphin who was a little jealous of the attention Susan Sarandon was obviously giving to her
male
man dolphin.
Her companion.
Exactly, her partner. Right, Jesus, those are the four stories. I mean, I have no idea. Kira, do you want me to go or will you? I actually do have an idea.
I'm going to say the Isle of Fisher one is probably true.
Okay.
You know, there's a lot of wildlife and parks in Australia that I know don't know anything about, but I imagine that she could have got pecked on the bum.
Sure.
Ryan Seacrest was bitten by a shark. Maybe it was a small shark.
Yeah, like a baby shark.
Like a baby
if a shark bites
like
you, you're getting your leg taken off.
Yeah. And as I said again, it's a pity, but Ryan Seacrest, a tooth was left in his foot. I can't believe that. I'm between the Gordon Ramsay and the Susan Sarandon one.
So am I.
And my gut is telling me to go for the Gordon Ramsay one.
Bollocks. All right. Fair enough. You go for
that. I'm going to say the Gordon Ramsay wasn't attacked by a puffin and he didn't have to get three stitches on his nose.
That's a good one. That's what I was going to go
really?
For. But no, you know what? We've started a policy now of trying to make it as hard as possible for Emma. So I should choose a different one.
You probably should.
I will. I will. Apologies, Emma. I'm going to say the fake story out of those stories is the Susan Sarandon story. Why not?
Chris, okay. That would have been my second choice.
Yeah. Sure, why not? I'll go with that. But Kira, I think you could be onto a winner tonight. I mean, who knows? So Emma is in playing the fake celebrity news quiz with us. How this works is every week Emma comes in. We have great fun with this because what Emma does is she gives us four celebrity news stories. However, one of these celebrity news stories is fake and it's up to Kira and I to try and guess which story is fake among all of these other real ones. So Emma, it was an interesting evening, I have to say. Some very, very unusual stories, quite a mix of stories actually, so can we hear them again before we get down to business?
You sure can.
Thank
so
you.
For anybody that missed it, we are doing an animal attack team.
Yeah.
Okay.
So the first one is that Isla Fisher was left with a scar on her bum after she was pecked by a giant cassowary bird during a trip to a wildlife park in Perth when she was 8.
Sure.
Second one is that TV host Ryan Seacrest was bitten by a shark while swimming in the Pacific Ocean off the coast of Mexico in 2008. He got nipped in the foot and even found a tooth that was left behind.
Oh, shit.
As again, I'm just going to say it's a pity that Ryan Seacrest was left behind.
I can't believe you want Ryan Seacrest maimed, Kira.
But like, Chris, he's just a product of everything
much.
That's wrong with the world.
Is that because he made the Kardashians?
It's not even that. It's just that whole fake. He's like a robot. If you see him like asking questions on the red carpet, he's not there. He's there in body,
him.
But he's not in mind. Like,
really?
He's so vanilla. And he doesn't even look at people when he asks them the questions. And then when they kind of try to, you know, go away from what he's asked, he can't handle it.
Jesus, Kira really doesn't like Ryan Seacrest.
And she's put a lot of thought into this.
Clearly, yeah, like she has actual proper reasons.
Yeah.
Point one, yeah.
It's like she's been waiting for this moment.
Yeah.
All right, I think he's all
waiting
right.
Waiting for Emma to mention Ryan Seacrest in the fake celebrity news quiz.
Finally.
I think there's much worse out there, you know? You know
really?
Damien O'Mara, who does Game On on 2FM? Like, if you want to dislike a broadcaster, he's the guy to dislike, all right?
I love
Never.
Damien.
I love Damien.
All right. Well, anyway, that's my opinion. Sorry, what's story number three?
Story number three is that famed chef Gordon Ramsay was attacked by a puffin he was hunting with the intent to cook.
Oh, no.
He received 3 stitches on his nose as a result of the encounter.
Oh dear.
The 3 stitches would, you know, probably take away from all those lines on his forehead.
That's true, to be distract. Yeah, you wouldn't notice them. They just blend in. Like wrinkles.
Yeah.
All right.
And the last story is that Susan Sarandon was almost killed by a jealous female dolphin while swimming back in the 70s. The dolphin, known as Rosie, took a bite out of Susan's wrist when she was
it's actually on the phone, Emma.
When she stopped to pet her friend. Hi, Rosie.
Dolphins are the weirdest looking things. I'm sorry, I don't think they're beautiful at all.
Oh, they're so cute.
You think so?
Yeah. I'd love to give that one a hug.
Really?
Yeah, except, yeah. Oh, look at that.
Dolphins are mutantist looking animals. But anyway, look, those are the four stories, all right? So, just leave this on in the background.
Still not a fan of Susan Sarandon.
No,
and
evidently
she also
not.
Just said she can't believe that Tim Robbins and Susan Sarandon broke up.
Is that what she's saying in Dolphins?
She's singing, yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, look.
She said it was all Susan's fault.
Yeah, absolutely.
One of those stories is fake. And it's up to Kira and I to try and guess which the fake story is. So among those four stories, Isla Fisher having a scar on her bum after a bird pecking it, Ryan Seacrest being bitten by a shark, Gordon Ramsay being attacked by
Rosie,
a puffin.
Please.
And also Susan Sarandon almost being killed by a dolphin who was just on the phone there. Well, Kira, you said the fake story was what?
I said the fake story was the Gordon Ramsay story that he was not attacked by a puffin that he was trying to cook and did need to get 3 stitches.
Interesting. I said the fake story was indeed the Susan Sarandon story we were just talking about there with the dolphin. I said that did not happen. So Let's dim the lights. Let's get that fog machine going again. And let's make it very tense in here.
I hate this bit.
Yeah, it is kind of scary.
Break
yeah.
it down for us, Emma.
Rosie had great reception there, didn't she?
for a dolphin that was on a phone, yes, actually. She had fantastic phone manner, fantastic reception. It really was brilliant. Yeah. That cost RTE €1,000 just for that
one clip.
I wonder
how she rings with no fingers.
They had a satellite van driven there. I had that arranged beforehand. Cost a lot of money.
Okay, well, I put you out of your misery.
Yeah, let's break it down.
Okay, so Kira, the Ryan Seacrest story was true.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
he must have gotten bitten by like a baby shark though, or like a shark that's basically sort of a fish.
A vegetarian.
You know what I mean though? Like a fish sized shark.
I know.
And it's a part of the same breed of shark or something.
Oh look, I'm sure there'll be a reality TV show made about it someday. If there already hasn't been.
There probably has been.
Wow, Kira, this hatred you have for Ryan Seacrest. You know, you tell me I need to hate people less.
I just like people with a little bit of depth, and I don't think that Ryan Seacrest has any.
Oh, fair enough. Again, Damien O'Mara on Game On also doesn't have any. Like, I'm just saying, if that's the criteria you're applying. But look, we'll leave him alone.
Who picked Susan?
Me.
Rosie is a bold dolphin.
That's true.
Yeah, Rosie picked Susan.
Alright, fair enough. So Kira, it's between you and Emma then.
Her pal's name was Joe.
Rosie
and Joe.
Wow.
That sounds so cute.
Yeah.
So wait,
are they still together? Unlike Tim Robbins and Susan Sarandon. Anyway.
So it's between me and you, Chris.
No, between you and Kira. So the two remaining stories are
Isla Fisher was
pecked on the bum, yeah.
And
Gordon Ramsay being attacked by a puffin. Kira, you said that was fake, didn't you?
I did.
So if that story is fake, you win tonight.
I know.
Well, do you know what? Gordon Ramsay deserved to be pecked on the nose by a puffin because puffins are so cute. It's true.
Oh, wow. So, wow.
Emma, you won.
Emma, you won again.
Yes.
Oh, this is ridiculous.
I want to have, you know, the duh, 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 you know,
the
that
Rocky
music
thing.
Every time I win. I just lost my bobbin. That's how excited I got. I just threw my bobbin somewhere.
You took your clothes off, Emma.
I took my clothes off.
Just tell the world. That's what actually happened.
I took my socks off and I took my gloves off.
Are you talking about this? Hold on.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. This. You want this every time you win.
Oh, this is my theme tune, yeah.
Okay.
This could get terrible.
I'm gonna be honest, this isn't a very original theme song. Like, I've heard more original ones. Anyway.
Is that Rosie? Oh, yeah. Thanks, Rosie. I'm delighted I won too. Thank you, Rosie.
All right.
Well, got a hand to you, Emma. Well done.
Emma, this is stupid at this point. You know the way
Rosie
I quit the.
Doesn't think so.
No, you know the way I quit the win back your license fee game yesterday? Do you want to just quit this?
No.
Okay, this is going nowhere.
Okay, so Chris quit the win back your license fee quiz last night. I quit the wrap off. Both of us are planning on quitting the fake celebrity news quiz.
So you're actually, what you're saying is you're quitting your show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we're there's resigning. Possibilities. That means there's room here for me and Rosie to move in.
Yeah, well, potentially. I've heard you guys have great chemistry.
I think there's probably room for a female broadcaster and a dolphin.
Yeah,
on air.
So, yeah.
Whoa. I hate women on air, okay? I don't mind a dolphin being on air, but Jesus, we're not putting a woman on air. That's ridiculous, guys. What kind of nonsense thinking is that? All right.
Sorry, Rosie. It looks
anyway.
Like it's not happening.
Look, Emma, congratulations. As I've said, we must start doing the stats up. We don't need to do them up yet, but at the end of the year, so I mean the end of the entire year, we always see who won the game.
Yeah, no, I promised.
Game.
Sorry, Chris. I promised.
No,
the stats
it doesn't. We don't need them yet.
I promise you next week. Could you send me a reminder?
That was just his kind of sly way.
No, it wasn't. Of
getting a dig in at you.
To be honest, I don't want to know
yet.
Yeah. No, because here's the thing. If it could get to a point,
no,
I think.
No, Chris, we need to know by next Tuesday because then we're into June, hon.
Yeah. I think it could get to a point in June where if Emma wins a few more times, we can't win this year.
Yeah.
Like, the game's literally over.
I think you're being a little bit dramatic.
No, I'm not.
Okay. No, you are.
Okay.
You're a drama queen, Chris.
Mm. Oh, well, that's true. All right. Anyway, look, Emma, your Twitter's at EmmaPower87, at EmmaPower87. Go online, give her a follow. As well as that, she is, of course, on Instagram, instagram.com/EmmaPower87. Emma Power, thank you,
thanks,
as always, for coming in. You know what, actually? I am. I have to play some. You okay? Yeah, you got it. All right. No, you didn't. Hold on. Oh, you did. Sorry. Fair enough. We have a fan in here because it's so hot. Like, this is how kind of haphazard it is in here. It's way too warm in here. It's been too warm for weeks, and they haven't done it. It's just so warm. So we have a table fan that we bring in, and we turn it on when the songs are on, just to try and cool down.
And then obviously, when we come back on air, I very smoothly managed to turn it off there.
There's radio stations in Africa, right? That like our community radio stations that run off like a generator of petrol that are cooler than this studio is. That's what's going on in here. It's ridiculous. But anyway, hi everyone, what's going on? My name is Chris. This wonderful woman, her name is Kira.
Hello.
And you know, Kira, I'm getting some music ready for you because I think we're all very excited about what went on today. In fact, I actually saw you just after this great achievement that you did. I was so proud of you. I was driving by you in the car and I beeped and I was like, well done, old girl.
I know, it was really weird because usually you just drive by me, do you know?
Yeah. Usually I have no interest in saying hello.
Yeah.
However, Kira did something momentous today. Something courageous. Something that required a lot of dedication, a lot of hard work. And today she was able to reap the rewards of that.
Yes. Today, Chris, I completed the trial 10K run for the VHI Mini Marathon.
Good woman, Kira. Good woman.
It is something that I never, genuinely, ever thought that I would be able to do. And I did it today.
You did it through hard work, dedication, and perseverance. And we're all very proud of you.
Thank you. No, genuinely, I have to give a big shout out to Louise Herity. She's a VHI trainer. And she helped me, and I was there with another girl called Helena as well. And she's doing the VHI Mini Marathon on her 40th birthday. So I ran with those two ladies today. We did the trial, which is the actual route of the VHI Mini Marathon, which will be taking place on the Monday of the bank holiday. And I never, ever thought that I'd be able to do 10K, and I did it today.
You did it in style.
And I've got even better news than that, right? I just checked my charity page because obviously I'm running the VH Mini Marathon for Children and Hospital Ireland. Myself, yes, and Chris have talked about the organisation on the show before.
It's a great
organisation. I just checked my charity page, right?
Okay.
I am on over €1,000 raised for Children and Hospital Ireland.
Good woman, Kira. Good woman. That's it.
So
doing
now,
the parish proud.
Now I'm like, right, we've got to 1,000.
Hey, don't get greedy.
Let's try and up it though. Let's try and do it for the kids, as they say.
This was always for the kids, Kira.
Yep.
I think I deserve some thanks in this as well.
No,
but
thank
I
you.
Helped you run the marathon.
Thank you for your support. No, I haven't run the marathon yet now.
No, but so I helped you run the route, like in my own way. So
okay.
You are welcome, Kira.
Thank you, Chris.
You're welcome.
Was it for beeping the horn of your car as you passed by me today?
After you'd already done it, yes. But seriously, well done. How can we donate to this charity?
Well, I have a tweet pinned up on my Twitter account with the link to the charity page. So my Twitter is at I am Kira King, or else you can check out mycharity.ie/event/Kira King.
You know, you should probably tweet it again now for everybody.
Yeah, no, I will.
mycharity.ie/event/Kira King. As Kira said, Children in Hospital Ireland, which is a fantastic charity. A very worthy, very deserving charity. And, you know, we were there one day and we saw what they were doing. It's awesome.
We met the volunteers. They're an incredible crowd.
You really, you know, as Kira said a while ago, whatever you can give.
Whatever.
Give a euro.
Yeah,
you know,
anything.
Give 20 cent. Whatever it is. Give 1 cent. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah.
Well, try and go a bit more generous than 1 cent. Well done, though, Kira.
I also downloaded the song for my running playlist.
Did you play it today?
No, because I was chatting to the girls as I was running. But I plan it. I plan on listening to it. I'm hoping for the final kilometre of the VHI Mini Marathon.
Wouldn't that
I'll be playing
perfect.
The song, yeah.
That wouldn't that be just awesome?
Yeah. So there you go.
Wow.
Boom.
That is
so
really
now
cool.
I just have to complete the VHI Mini Marathon.
But you did it today.
I did it today.
And you even chatting to the girls.
Chris, it was sunny 1 minute, then it was raining the next minute, then there was hailstones the next minute. So I got all the elements today as well.
Look, you're ready for this,
Mother
girlfriend.
Nature threw everything at me.
And you still did it.
And I still did it.
You're ready for this.
So 12 days to go.
I'm telling you, you're ready for this. You're gonna. Is it 12 days?
12 days.
Interesting. Well, look, you've already done it. It's going to be fine. Now, isn't the conventional wisdom that you don't do it again?
Yeah, you do maybe little runs.
So you do little bits and pieces and you don't do anything again until you do the day of it.
Yeah, you do maybe 5K here and there. Maybe make one 5K.
Sure.
Or 4K or something like that. And then not until the actual day do you pull out the L10K. So hopefully...
Look, you've already pulled out
so
the 10K.
Wouldn't be so ironic, Chris, so if I was able to do the 10K on the Tuesday, 12 days before the actual VHI mini-marathon, and then on the day faint or something.
I would enjoy that, though. Like, as in, it would be funny in its own way. Obviously, we want to see you complete the marathon, but hey, you not completing has a lot of benefits. Let's put it that way. But anyway. Chris and Kira on 2FM. Yeah. There we go. The script. Man on a wire here on 2FM. Right. Evening, everybody. 6 minutes past 11. What's going on? My name is Chris. This wonderful woman, her name is Kira.
Hello.
Yeah. By the way, I love this as well. This is just such an indictment on the male-driven world we live in. We're just talking about Kira's amazing charity, her amazing 10K run today. And John in New Ross texts in, just out of interest now, what was Kira wearing while running today? Wigwam in my pants. There you go. All your achievements reduced to that.
John.
What were you wearing?
John, I'll tell you, right?
Yeah, go on, baby.
But I'll tell you. After you donate some money to the cause that I'm running the VHI Mini Marathon for, which is Children in Hospital Ireland, John. Thank you.
That's fair enough. Just say in the comments section of the donation that you're John, who has the wigwam in his pants. Maybe don't actually on the children website. Yeah, maybe
not,
don't do that.
But anyway.
But then Kira will describe it to you. Also, Zara says, hey guys, it's actually sad how much I look forward to hearing your voices coming out from work. Yes, that is sad, Zara. In fact, no, it's not sad at all. Kira and I are incredible, in fairness. I can see why you'd look forward to it. We're like your best friends, Zara.
We are.
Yeah. So here's what's going on. Between now and midnight, friend of the show, Blind Boy. You know Blind Boy Boat Club from the Rubber Bandits. He's going to be on, Blind Boy from Rubber Bandits. And as well as that, we're going to be talking to a gentleman who is the leader and head pooba of and first minister of the new First Church of Cannabis in the US. Now, it's very interesting as to why he's doing this, because he's trying to basically get away with weed smoking, but for religious reasons. So we'll see how that gets on. We're going to be talking to him in a second. Kira, this is a big day for us, because have we ever had a grand pooba and minister of love on the show?
Not that I can recall, Chris.
No, Kira, we have not.
And I would have called you the grand pooba and minister of love on the show.
Kira, I am not the grand pooba and minister of love. Friend of the show who's on the phone with us right now, Mr. Bill Levin is. Let's give him a big round of applause. Hi, Bill. How are you?
Hi, I love you over there in Ireland. Thank you for calling me.
Good. Well, look, I'm glad that you took the call and that we're here now, because I think this will be good fun, because Mr. Bill Levin, or as a... Would you prefer to be called Grand Pooba and Minister of Love, or will I call you Bill for throughout this? I'm good with either.
I'm not big on formalities. Bill is fine.
Oh, good. You're right. You know what? We'll save Grand Pooba and Minister of Love for maybe procedural issues and stuff like that when we're doing ceremonies, maybe. That'd be a better idea.
When you marry us.
Yes, exactly. But for now, Bill is what we'll use. So, Bill Levin, you are... Grand Pooba and Minister of Love, but I guess another way of saying it is that you are the group leader of a newly formed, now stop me if I'm wrong, First Church of Cannabis. Would I be right in saying that?
Yes, we're the First Church of Cannabis in Indiana, and we were established on March 26th of this year, at the same time our governor signed into affect the RFRA bill, SB 101.
Now, what's that exactly?
Well, it started off as a religious freedom bill, but was extremely anti-gay, and we fought it tooth and nail.
Sure.
But when he was going to go sign it, I followed the correct path to enlightenment and we started a church.
Okay, see, this is a better idea. Rather than trying to fight what's going on there, you say that there's this new act that basically, I take it it's something to do with giving religious institutions or registered churches certain freedoms and liberties that maybe other organizations, like, say, companies, might not have.
This is correct.
Okay, so you decided, right, I'm starting my own church, and you legally registered a church. So I know that in most countries and states, as you'd have in the US, there is a certain procedure that goes behind, for example, having a charity or a not-for-profit organization or a this or a that. So you've done all of the legwork required to have a church set up. So this is a legal, recognized church, am I right?
We are a legally incorporated church in the state of Indiana. We have filed all our federal papers, but like every government, You know how long it takes for papers to go through the federal government?
You're probably still waiting. You said you sent them on March 26th. I'd imagine you're still waiting, are you?
Yeah. I mean, it's hurry up and wait.
Sure.
But the envelope not there yet.
Okay. Yeah, probably not. It probably haven't even opened the envelope.
You see, this probably is going to take a while, because if it's the first Church of Cannabis, am I right in saying that cannabis isn't legal in Indiana? Am I wrong? I'm not really quite down with the marijuana laws.
No. We have some of the strictest laws in the nation.
About marijuana?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, boy.
Okay.
So
we're up against it here.
Yeah, we really are. So let me break this down then, because Kira makes a good point there. So you, obviously, marijuana for the average Joe, like me and you, if we want to go and smoke some, is illegal. But here's the difference. Under this religious freedom law that you mentioned at the start, and the fact that you guys are a legally registered church, I'm thinking that the first Church of Cannabis, surely at least some part of the ceremony at some point of the day is that you guys smoke cannabis.
Of course we will.
Yeah. So what's going to happen then?
It's like any other church service. At the end of the service, you go out in your car and you smoke one, except we're not going to make you go out to the car. You can stay in the, you can stay in the sanctuary.
I understand. You're going to include it. You're going to incorporate it into the service.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Good. That makes sense.
We believe in the 11-11 prayer, the auto prayer, O-T-T-O, named after a cancer patient who I dearly love and miss. This is when we, in the morning time, celebrate the love and the beauty of the plant, and we know its health prosperities of it that can make people well, and we want people to have it. So, it's our medical prayer in the morning at 11-11.
Sure.
And at 4:20 in the afternoon, well, that's just stagehand call. Everybody knows that's the, official union break around the world.
Sure, of course. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, 420 is now synonymous with the, I guess, consumption and the acceptance of cannabis, you could say. I mean, definitely. Because I read here as well that you say cannabis is the healing plant of your sacrament. You say it brings us closer to ourselves and to others, and it is the foundation of your health, love, curing illness and depression, and you embrace it wholeheartedly with spirit, individually and as a group. To me, Bill, this sounds like a central part of your religion.
Well, it is.
Yeah.
We are hardwired as human beings. We are hardwired for the intake of cannabis. We have an endocannabinol system, very much like a nervous system within our own bodies, each and every one of us. It gets out of whack with the poisonous foods and beverages we eat. That's what makes us sick, fat, and tiresome.
Okay?
As soon as we can get our endocannabinol system back up to par and start taking these things, there's only one plant that gives us the endocannabinols and gives us the THC, and that's the cannabis plant. Just like when my dog has a stomach ache, he walks across the yard, he eats a certain blade of grass, he then throws up, and he walks back and he tries to kiss me and says, "Hey, Dad, I feel better."
Okay.
Look, it's true, and I get you. And you know what? There's two things that strike me here. One, you believe that, and I can tell you believe that, mm-hmm. and it's very good science, so I don't see what makes it different to any other religion. In fact, if anything, you could say it's a lot more sound scientifically than any other religions. But also, Kira was telling me, and she might not admit this on air, but Kira was telling me she really wants both her and I to become members of this church. I mean, how can we do this, Bill? How could we become, I guess, a part of your congregation?
Well, right now we have a GoFundMe page up on our Facebook page.
Sure.
That we're raising funds from, and everybody who signs on to that is a member. We have a printout card on our Facebook page. We're in the middle of doing all the web pages and looking for churches and having staff meetings and meeting with lawyers and realtors and accountants and meetings. Hey, dude.
I
my
get
life
it.
Has been mm-hmm. since it started.
And how many members are there of the Church of Cannabis so far?
Paying members were over 600-700. Wannabe paying members about 37,000.
Wow, 37,000! Good Lord!
Yeah, as soon as we can start getting our web pages together, this became a worldwide thing. Okay, when I started this, I thought it was going to be the 200 or 300 people in Indianapolis. But it seems as though everybody in the world can relate to the new deity dozen, the 12 suggested pathways to life.
Absolutely. You know? Yeah.
It's the modern-day religion for modern-day issues. and it doesn't have anything to do with any of the old guilt, sin. You know, it has nothing to do with that. It has to do with how we celebrate daily life and how we love each other. We have a real simple prayer. It's three words. You say it five times. I love you. 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 Hey, what a great prayer.
That is a great prayer.
And it's easy to remember.
Very easy to remember. There'd be no memorizing like there was in the old Catholic prayers.
When we grew up and we went to what would be primary school, which would be your kindergarten, we had to memorize prayers off by heart. That was our homework.
Sure, yeah. We had to memorize them in Irish, which is our, you know, first language, I guess you could say, the language that all our prayers are in.
Memorize all 10 million verses of them. So I'm pretty happy with that. I love you.
It's concise.
It is.
Yeah, I like it. No, definitely. But look, Bill, this is what's cool, I think. And this is where this all really gets interesting. Obviously, we're having fun with this, and it is a very cool idea. But where this really gets interesting is when you try to say to the government, no, this isn't us smoking dope. This is a religious ceremony. That's when this is all going to kick off, right?
I'm real sure that when we light up on the pulpit, that we will have the attention of the world upon us.
Sure.
How people react to it is strictly up to them. I do believe that the officers of our state are gentlemen and scholars, and I have a very high respect for them. I really do.
Sure. That's mm-hmm. But they still might have to arrest you.
Well, they don't have to. You know, in this state, they can give you a ticket and tell you to appear in court.
Okay, but they might do that, is what I'm saying. There might be consequence to you practicing your religious freedom.
Well, I'm not bashful. I mean, I'm familiar with the court system.
Okay. Okay, all right. But that's what I'm saying, is that's where this will really get interesting, when you see whether or not they'll, I guess, allow you or not allow you, right?
Well, I think, you know, if it comes down to that path, yeah. Right now, you know, I'm trying to get as much love as we can get going in this state. And it seems to be blossoming everywhere. I don't have too many people saying nay to me, except some, you know, really tightly wound wing nuts.
Don't mind them. They are a minority.
You want people to refrain from trolling on the internet and insist that you insist don't be an asshole. That sounds like a good church to me, in fairness.
Yeah, it's a brilliant church.
Yeah. And we got one thing that no other religion offers. Well, the one most important thing. Have some humor in your life.
Yes! Amen. That's a religion I want to get behind. Absolutely. This is cool, and I like this. Most importantly, love everybody. I mean, to be honest with you, Bill, a lot of what you're saying is, I believe, now correct me if I'm wrong, is I believe how Christianity was supposed to kind of start out, and then things got a little distorted along the way.
You know, the message of love has been here forever. People get the message of love confused in translations and mean. What does love mean? What does it mean? We all know what love means in our heart. We all know. We don't need to put it down in words. You know, love is that joyful, happy first kiss. It's that joyful, happy time when you see somebody you haven't seen in a long time, a new baby, a new puppy, a beautiful spring day, a bird landing on your arm. You know, love is everything.
Sure, I
yes,
agree.
Is.
Love is
yes,
all around is. Us. Love is in nature.
Chris,
love is in this planet. Yes, Kira.
I love you.
I love you, Kira.
I love you, Bill.
Bill, we both love you. Yes!
Yes!
Yes! See, this is what we should be doing. How is this man not going to be able to set up a religion? Already he spread more love than in the last 10 years I've gotten from going to church here. So, look, Bill, I know you're a busy man and I know you've lots going on. I mean, you are running a church now, I'm sure, among other things. So I'll tell you what we will do. How do we get onto your... You said you have a fund page as well, don't you?
We have the First Church of Cannabis on Facebook.
Okay.
The only thing we've got right now. We're waiting for our web pages to get launched. We've got a company that we're working with, and, you know, there's another five-person meeting.
Exactly. Absolutely. So, First Church of Cannabis on Facebook, I guess, is your central point. We can go through there, and we can get everything on there, and we can find out what's going on. Mm-hmm. First Church of Cannabis.
And you know what, Bill? We might check in with you in a couple of months to see how that church is coming along.
You've got my cell number. Anytime you call me, I am here for you.
Awesome.
Brilliant.
Well, look,
Thank you, Bill.
Before you go, I love you again, okay? I love you.
I love you, Bill.
I love you, and I love everybody in Ireland.
There we go.
Have an absolutely great life adventure this week.
Awesome. See, there we go. And that's Bill, Kira. See, if we could all be a little more like him, the world would be a lot nicer place. I'm telling
I'm
you that right now.
I'm definitely happier after that interview, I have
Who
to
wouldn't
say.
Be? Who wouldn't be? We're spreading
Chris,
love.
What is the name of this? You know, at a funeral. Yeah. You know, when we go to mass, what is the name of that smoke that comes out?
Incense.
What incense? That's a particular incense.
Oh, myrrh or frankincense. Or it's one of those things they gave to Jesus, isn't it?
Here's an idea.
Yeah.
Here's an idea.
Yeah.
Why not incorporate what they're trying to do with the church of cannabis, but have maybe that smoking?
So like burn a nice little five spot in
and
the little
relax
thing.
Everybody yeah. in the church.
Hey, look.
And people will be less sad.
Yeah, that's true. That you're dead right. Blind boy, what's happening, man? How are you?
How are you getting on, lads? Not too bad now. What's the crack?
Not a whole lot, blind boy. Of course, blind boy of the Rubber Bandits. One half of the Rubber Bandits is on the phone with us. We're having a chat with him. Blind boy comes on every week. We have a chat with him about all the issues that are going on in the world.
We do. And you know what? We're getting an awful lot of tweets and messages to the show, right? And people are kind of going, Jesus, I'm learning more now with blind boy talking for about half an hour than I'm learning, you know, that I learned in the 6 years in school. So like no pressure, blind boy, or anything like that. But people seem to be learning from this little segment that we're doing here.
Well, you know, as I always say, I'm not real. I'm not a physical entity. I'm part of the collective unconscious of Limerick. So as a result of that, I've got access to all different pools of knowledge.
Yeah, you're kind of part of the ether, blind boy. You're an abstract concept.
Yeah.
Yeah, you are, definitely. Hey, blind boy, does that not insult you, though? Because that would annoy me. Because people are often like, Jesus, blind boy's actually really smart. I hate when people phrase things in, you know, a complisult format. Do you know what I mean?
Not really. It's all about context and positioning, like, so... If I was wearing a suit and looked like a politician, then no one would listen to anything I said.
That's true. I suppose, yeah, exactly. Well, look, blind boy, actually, speaking of, you know, suits and politicians and the pomp and the ceremony and everything, Prince Charles is in Ireland today. What do you think of his little trip around the place?
That one actually is quite interesting, you see, because, like, Ireland, like, obviously, the Irish people want this, some type of reparations with Britain, you know what I mean? And
sure.
And it's nice to see a kind of a mutual... kind of going, everything's all right, lads. You know, things are okay. We're not bombing anyone anymore and we'd like to become friends again. And that's really nice. However, it's like the way that the Irish people are doing it is it's a complete misunderstanding of Britishness. Like, we shouldn't be, like, playing to the royals. The royals don't represent the British people.
That's a good point, actually. Yeah, no, absolutely. Like, yes.
It's a strange one. Like it's that's not real Britishness. If you go over and talk to the people on the street, the people that were actually, we'd say, affected by the troubles in England or in London, the people on the street, they don't, the royals don't represent them at all.
No, I know
so
what
it's
you
really
mean.
Strange that we're kind of, you know, you bring the Queen over, you bring Charles over, and he talks to Gerry Adams and whatever. It's all symbolism.
No, that
and
is
what
true.
What I'd like to see is like. I don't know, like a new type of Republican paramilitary organisation, but they do acts of kindness. So you've got this a group of IRA-looking lads, and they go to London, Canary Wharf, and they offer people ice cream and free hugs.
Sure.
But to the civilians of Britain, that would be real reparations. That's actually getting to the root of it. But all this stuff where it's the royals, it's a misinterpretation of the true situation, you know?
No, I agree with you. You're saying maybe, like, is it really that sincere or meaningful a gesture when all we're doing is kind of, I guess, pandering to the top 0.00000, whatever, 1%? Yeah, absolutely.
The thing is that the people who maintain control over Ireland and the people who kind of politically put the boot down on the Catholics in the north of Ireland, these were the elites. The people, the normal working class people of England, they didn't even know what Belfast was.
Sure, yeah. Yeah, sure.
Honestly, to be blaming them for, they didn't even know.
To be blaming them for it is probably a little much. And you're saying that if we're really, as you say, going to any meaningful kind of sense of diplomacy or whatever or going forward, it just needs to be with common kind of average people. I know exactly what you mean.
When the bombs went off in London, a lot of the people are going, like, why are they bombing us? I don't understand.
Sure.
And then
sure.
They go, well, it's because of occupation in the north. And it's like, the north of where? Ireland. Ireland is Irish. I didn't know we owned that.
Yeah, exactly. No, I get you. And then you kind of think, is showing Prince Charles around the quadrangle of NUIG really going to, you know, mend all those wounds?
I don't know, lads. I think there's something kind of more to it, though. We're always kind of, the Irish kind of play that kind of, the cute whores in a lot of ways.
We like, are cute to it.
And, you know, it'd be like, the rich ones now coming over from the UK, from England, or the royals. You ask anybody, you know, to talk about the royals of a certain age in Ireland, and they will get like I'll give you an example, you know, all the kind of hoo-ha around Kate and William's wedding, And I had people in their 50s and 60s going, why is absolutely anybody interested in the fact that, you know, one of the princes of the UK is getting married to some, what they call the commoner, even though she's the furthest thing from common that I've ever come across.
You're a commoner, Hugh. Yeah.
I'm a commoner.
Exactly.
That's
if she got married to you,
yeah,
like,
exactly.
You're a commoner.
I'm Kate Middleton,
yeah,
like, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
But there's still some sort of undercurrent of, oh God, those damn royals. And there's still people angry about the royals. So that's why I actually kind of find it...
The people of Britain are more angry about the royals than the people of Ireland.
Yeah.
See, that's
the
it.
Actual normal people of Britain, they really, really don't like this parasitic overclass. Like, here's the thing. This is who the royals are, right? In 1066, a fella called William the Conqueror came over to England, and he and about 60 of his hardest men, they came over from France, the Normans, him and 60 of his hardest barons who were willing to smash people's skulls in. Those 60 people, all of Royal Britain traces their blood back to those 60 people, and they own something like 70% of the land.
Mm. Sure. Well, so I mean, yeah, go ahead.
60th generation thugs. That's what the royals are.
Blind boy, you could not have said it better. What I was going to say was, and it's amazing you brought that up, I was going to say that, and this isn't an anti-English thing or an anti-anything thing, the concept of royalty in any country, in Spain, in France, in Italy, anywhere, the concept of royalty basically means your relatives were willing to beat the shit out of everyone else's relatives to a higher degree. That's all royalty is.
And you
that's
exactly
all royalty
what it is.
It's your relatives were more of a dickhead, basically, to anyone else than anyone else's, and yours won. That's all royalty is.
But
it's horrible.
You look at,
it's horrible concept.
The most demonized criminal gangs in Ireland, the way they carried on is the way that the ancestors of the royals did. It's somebody who's willing to take power through rape and murder.
Sure, that's all royalty is. Nothing more than that. That is exactly what royalty is. You're dead right. So I'd be of the same opinion of you, Blind Boy. Kind of, you know, giving Prince Charles some tea in the quadrangle of NUI. I don't know what it does, but sure, look, that's for another day.
However, the other thing I noticed regarding the British people, because I'd be over there an awful lot with the bandits, and the actual people on the street love the Irish, because the thing is that most kind of working class people in England, you won't meet somebody who isn't part Irish anyway.
Sure.
We infiltrated the working class on a blood level.
No, absolutely. Most definitely, of course. You know what I find as well? Maybe I'm wrong on this now. I find this might be a crude analogy. Irish people in the UK and Ireland are kind of like the black people of America. Like, we're kind of liked now. Do you know what I mean? It's
not
cool
anymore,
to be Irish.
But, like, in the 70s and 80s, like, if you were on the tube, you wouldn't have spoken with your Irish accent. You'd have been very quiet.
Oh, no, I mean now in a good way. As in, I think that it's cool to be black now, and I think it's cool to be Irish. Maybe I'm wrong.
It's very cool to be Irish.
Isn't it? I've noticed that whenever I'm over there. It's very cool to be Irish. I'm really playing it off.
I wouldn't be asking anybody in Australia how cool it is to be Irish.
No. We're the black people in Australia. Yeah. We're the underclass in Australia. Absolutely we are, yeah. But sure, look, there you go anyway. So, actually, just something completely different. Kira had an interesting thing she saw there, actually, which was weird.
No, we were chatting about this on the show. Either it was last week, I think it was last week, right? And we got this text message and it was from a girl, and she was having an argument with her boyfriend about there's a sex tape of a friend of theirs going around, and she wants to watch it, but her boyfriend refused to watch it, right? So it got me thinking about voyeurism. And I was at a wedding over the weekend, and it was kind of one of those tables where you were just put with a load of people that you didn't know, and I was like, oh Jesus, all right, I'm going to have a couple of drinks, I'm going to start talking to people here or whatever. And the majority of, there was about four or five couples, I think three of those couples had been to a live sex show in Amsterdam.
Wow.
Yeah. Three of those couple, and they were just talking about it openly, and they're like, yeah, we went in, we paid about €50 in, and we sat there and we watched two strangers having sex, and a man was wanking down the, you know, the aisles there beside us, like, whatever. And I was sitting there and I was like, well, did you enjoy it? And you know, the girl was like, yeah, no, it was an experience. And I was like, it just got me thinking about voyeurism and, like, actually going over to a city as beautiful as Amsterdam. And look, I know all the crack, you know, that goes at Amsterdam or whatever. But I was just wondering, like, would people spend €50 to go in and watch a live sex show? Or, you know, would people contemplate watching a video of one of their friends in a sexual act? Like?
Well, look, if one of my friends was on a porno tape and I had access to it, I'm absolutely watching it.
But what if it was accidental, Blind Boy? Like, he didn't want it out there, but
no,
it was, it existed.
I wouldn't do that.
That's different.
Would you not?
Comfortable doing that.
No, so you wouldn't watch it if it had been obtained, whatever, we'll say, maybe, like, accidentally, so to speak. Like, he didn't put it out there as a porno.
That's like going into his room and opening his laptop and looking into his Facebook.
See, that's what it is. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's not. That's not. There's no joy out of that. Like,
no,
and
there isn't.
And then a modern day kind of symbol of voyeurism is Facebook.
Absolutely, but it depends. Well, actually, it is. Yeah, a lot of lads will go on looking at girls and stuff like that. So there is a voyeuristic element to it. But it's a two way voyeurism with Facebook. Do you know what I mean? People are aware they're being watched, and people. I mean,
it's as much exhibition as it is voyeurism.
Yeah.
I see it almost as corporate branding. A person's Facebook profile is their ideal corporate brand of themselves. It's how they want to be perceived, like McDonald's. It's a certain way. I may only be photographed from this angle. I may only express opinions this way. It's a corporate brand of yourself that you sell to the world.
That's exactly what it is.
It's not you with your flaws, like.
Oh, no, it's not a realistic representation of a person at all. It's a nonsensical representation of a person. It's very one-dimensional. No, I agree with you. But you're right. It is voyeurism. That absolutely is. And it's exhibitionism.
To an extent. Yeah. But I mean, does voyeurism necessarily mean it has to have a sexual element?
No, I guess not. There's a nosiness to it, isn't there?
Yeah, nosiness. Yeah.
I guess
there's a nosiness to Facebook. But I don't know. Would he go to Amsterdam? And this is generally, I'm genuinely asking this question. Would you pay 50 euro to see a live sex show?
I wouldn't.
Yeah, here's the thing, right? It's like when you go to Amsterdam to do that, you're acting as a tourist. There's loads of things I'll do in cities as a tourist that I would never normally do. Like I was in Venice 2 weeks ago and I went on a gondola. I wouldn't go on a gondola if it was in Limerick, you know what I mean?
Yeah, sure.
I would do it in Amsterdam because it's an act of tourism and it's what you do. You spend a lot of money doing silly things because you're there. But, like, I probably wouldn't go seeing sex shows. I bet you know, if I went on the internet long enough, I could find sex shows in Limerick that I could probably go and see. Because there is unofficial red light districts in Limerick where you can get anything you want. And I don't partake in that because it's on my doorstep.
Yeah, there's not much of a novelty about it. You're not really engaged. It's much more seedy and kind of lurid if you're doing it.
When you do it in Amsterdam too, the seediness is removed because going to Amsterdam, part of the tourist package is that you're allowed to get off your face on drugs and do prostitutes without the social stigma that's attached in your own country.
Yeah, no, I know what you mean.
When in Rome kind of thing, isn't it?
Exactly, yeah.
No, yeah, exactly. So look, but you're saying if it was like on O'Connell Street in Limerick, you're not going to it.
See, this is it. These couples...
It's there already.
That's in O'Connell Street.
Yeah, but see, this is it. These couples wouldn't go and see a live sex show in Dublin.
Oh.
You know?
No, they wouldn't. I don't think so, no.
Like, they'd literally probably, if you were to suggest it, they'd probably like, what are you talking about? Do you know?
Yeah.
Well, I doubt those couples are there for kind of a sexual pleasure. I think it's just, what in Amsterdam, we'll do something mad, will we?
Yeah.
You know, that's probably
it. I think that's it.
That's probably more so it. Yeah, they're not getting any gratification out of it, or it's very unlikely they're getting any gratification.
It's very interesting, though.
People go to Amsterdam, and they mightn't even smoke hash. They might be the type of person who has no interest in hash, but they'll do it because they're in Amsterdam, because you have to.
Yeah, I've noticed
that. Italian people would come to Dublin, to Temple Bar. They mightn't drink that much back home, but they'll get absolutely smashed in Temple Bar just because that's what the tourist packages.
Sure,
that's what you're kind of
Guinness.
Supposed to do.
Yeah, exactly.
It's kind of sad in a way, isn't it?
It kind of. Yeah, you'd think you'd have a more authentic experience.
It's human sexuality is very, very strange, and it's very unique to the individual. So some people are into live sex shows, and some people aren't. Mm. I'd be into a live sex show if I'm allowed to participate. I don't have to touch someone else's Mickey.
So would you not be for it if a man was anywhere near you in any kind of physical tactile capacity?
That's not my vibe. Like, I mean, yeah. I watch him, like, but I mean, it'd be like watching someone playing hurling.
Yeah, I get you. I wouldn't be particularly excited by it. You're dead right. Well, look,
I'm playing hurling.
Blind Boy, as always, I think we've learned a lot. I think Blind Boy's hit the nail on the head there with a few things. Of course, Blind Boy, one half of the Rubber Bandits. And how is Mr. Chrome these days, Blind Boy? He's all right?
He's over in Malta doing a PhD on the migratory patterns of the Maltese falcon, which is a non-migratory bird.
I had heard that research and everything was very slow as a result of them being a non-migratory bird. Yeah. Well, look, give him my best and all that. And I tell you, Blind Boy is, of course, on the internet. You can find him everywhere. He's on Facebook, as in, you know, Rubber Bandits. If you type that into the internet, as Blind Boy says, you'll get it. Blind Boy, you're promoting some gigs as well, aren't you? Is it not that you use this to promote them? But I remember you were getting in trouble for not promoting them.
I was getting in a lot of trouble. Yeah, we're doing the Lime Tree Theatre in Limerick this weekend, and then I think the weekend after, then we're in a place called The Palace in Cork. And right. Belfast as well, but that's not even Ireland.
No, it's not.
Actually. Yeah.
We should bring that up with Prince Charles, actually, while he's still over. We'll see if we can get it back.
Well, look, we should get Prince Charles to a Rubber Bandits show. That's
we should. Doing, yeah. I think I want to see Blind Boy shaking hands with Prince Charles. Never mind Gerry Adams or whatever. That's what I want to see. Well, look, as Blind Boy said, Lime Street Theatre in Limerick and then Palace. That the Mary I one, JJ, or is that a different one? Yeah, that's the Mary I one.
Yeah, Mary Lime Street.
Yeah, there you go. And then also Palace in Cork. So look, go online. I'm sure you can find out all the stuff there. Blind Boy, as always, thanks for coming on, man.
York, nice one.
Yeah, bollocks. Kieran and I have this game we've been playing all night that we've lost again. Thank you for turning that off, Kieran. It's so warm in here, there's a fan. We've brought in a desk fan. Oh, the air conditioning will be sorted in 4 months after several meetings. And then they'll have it on cool just when it's September, maybe. We're all just kind of getting back to the winter things in Sherlock. Then we'll be bringing in little heaters with us, Fred. So that'll be cool.
Maybe some hot water bottles.
Yeah.
Kind of cute. Maybe those little heart-shaped ones.
Exactly.
So sweet.
Anyway, yeah, hello, everyone. 10 past midnight. My name is Chris. This wonderful woman, her name is Kira.
Hello.
Jay, we've had a busy show so far this evening. There's been lots going on.
Chris, people on the Twitter saying that they had a very interesting history lesson tonight listening to Blind Boy, and they don't even like history.
Yeah.
And they're also liking my idea of spreading the love and the incense at mass.
The incense, of course, being the weed inside the little chalice-y thing or whatever it is. Is that what you... Yes.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, I'm sure it isn't called a chalice-y thing, though.
No, I actually don't know what it's called. Any real nerds out there know what the name of the thing you put incense in church into is? You know the thing they swing around?
They swing around, especially at funerals.
Has the little holes in it and you just kind of swing it around the coffins and stuff. But anyway. Did you hear about a... Kim Jong-un.
Now, Chris, we haven't talked about Kim Jong-un in a while, but I saw this headline and I was like, what on earth is he talking about now? The headline on The Independent was Kim Jong-un criticizes turtle farm for failing to breed lobsters.
Well, yeah.
That is a legit headline about Kim Jong-un. And I was reading it and I was like, what on earth? But yeah, seemingly he's criticized a turtle factory for some serious shortcomings. Because it failed to breed lobsters. But that's not the real story, right? The dictator,
what
he toured
the fuck is this?
A terrapin farm, okay, on Monday. And he allegedly is not happy because they haven't successfully breeded any freshwater lobsters.
Well, look, that's a good point. What are you doing breeding turtles? At least lobsters are luxurious. You can eat lobsters. They're tasty. What are you doing with turtles, lads? I'm with Great Leader on this one.
And they're cute little terrapins.
No, I am with... great leader, our great leader, Kim Jong-un.
I love this particular line in the article. Mr. Kim, who allegedly executed his defense minister last week, appeared upset that farm officials had failed to successfully breed from the freshwater lobsters provided to the factory 2 years ago.
That's fair enough, though.
He labeled workers' failings as a manifestation of incompetence.
Wow.
Like...
But in fairness, imagine you're
Sorry, Chris. And just to add it, he also said that the workers in this factory had failed to pay proper respect to the country's former leader and his father, Kim Jong-il.
But imagine you're in one of those places and that happens. Wouldn't you be terrified?
You would be so terrified because you'd be thinking, oh, I'm going to die.
Kim comes to work and he's like, lads, there's serious shortcomings here. I'd be like, oh, Jesus.
But Chris, it doesn't even make sense.
Oh, Jesus.
It's a terrapin factory.
No, look, here's what happened. For some reason, I don't even know why there is a turtle factory in North Korea, but hey, there is, okay? And obviously, Kim Jong-un had the idea that these turtles aren't doing it. This is ridiculous. He's like, why are we breeding turtles? Who wants turtles? So he gave them some freshwater lobsters and he said, lads, start breeding freshwater lobsters. You see what I'm saying? And they weren't able to. So I think he's dead right on this one. Usually I would disagree with him, but he's bang on.
Mr. Kim
bang on.
Reportedly visited this farm in 2011. Oh, sorry, Mr. Kim Jong-il, his father, who's now since passed. Yeah. And he encouraged the subjects there to eat terrapin, which is a type of freshwater turtle. Okay. It's one of those little tiny ones that people can have as pets, right? Yeah. As it was a tasty and nutritious meat.
Okay.
You know, but anyway.
And then obviously Kim Jong-un decided... Ah, lads, ye should start breeding lobsters. And now he's angry with them because they haven't been able to breed lobsters.
Yeah.
They're all getting executed, which is unfortunate. God bless them. The poor guys. I love how as well he just goes on tours of like things like turtle farms and stuff and then criticizes them on on not being able to breed lobsters.
He sounds like he's really, really bored.
He's bored off his head.
He is bored off his head. He's completely delusional. I would think it's fair to say that I would say that he's not the full shilling.
He knows better than to start any wars, though. So he has nothing to do except execute his defense ministers and criticize turtle farms for not breeding lobsters. And, you know, so I have to say, I know he's a brutal dictator. I know North Korea is a horrible, horrible country. But this is so funny that this guy runs a country with like 20 million people in it.
I know.
This guy who probably wouldn't have like gotten past maybe have the education of a 12-year-old. And here he is running North Korea, a country with like an army and everything. And it's just...
Yeah.
What is it? 24 million?
24.9 million people, Chris, live in North Korea.
Wow. God.
And yet there he is visiting turtle farms and criticising them on the fact that they haven't created enough freshwater lobster.
Well, get on it, lads. Maybe great leaders right on this one, you pricks. Maybe you should be making lobsters as opposed to terrapins.
Just the whole thing. It feels like it isn't real.
It's so pointless. It feels like it isn't real.
It feels
isn't it?
Like it's a, what you call it, Chris?
Like a parody. Like
a parody.
Yeah. You'd think that if there was a joke film about a dictator, that this is what he'd be doing. Mm. Instead, no, he's dead serious. I'm so glad we don't live in this country. I mean, my God. Wow. Having things like this really gives you perspective, doesn't it? However, sure, it may be hot in here because the aircon's broken and no one's, you know, changing it. But wow. At least we don't live here, right? I mean, things could be way worse. Oh, man. Well, thanks for the update anyway.
You're welcome. We like to
keep up with what Kim Jong-un is doing and all of his goings-on. Where's his wife these days?
She hasn't been seen in a while.
She's great looking. Or, you know, I'm sure she's the best North Korea looking. Had to offer. So, you know, he probably handpicked her. Where is she? Because I remember she used to be at events with him. Obviously, like, he must be like, now, love, I'm doing something important today. I'm going to the turtle farm to see if they've been able to breed lobsters. And she's like, okay, Kim, I know you're working really hard and I'll let you do that and I'll stay here. Are you looking up pictures of his wife?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, let me see that wife of his because she seems to be, yeah, all right. Just hasn't been much from her lately. Is that what it is?
I think so.
Yeah, she's good looking. Good old Kim. I am worried, though, that she hasn't been seen in a while. Like, you'd have to wonder, did she annoy him by not having the right dinner one night or something and then just fucking... Oh, yeah, there's stories that she's missing, isn't there? God bless her. But anyway, there you go.
There he is, the leader of a country.
24 million people with, like, big militaries and everything. And man. Yeah, you know, you're dead right, Texter. Kim Jong-un or whatever was... educated in Switzerland. Like,
and
I think he went to university
though,
there.
He spent time in America. Do you remember those pictures surfaced of him?
Oh, yes. Yeah,
at
yeah.
basketball games and...
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Also, the incense thing is called a thurbril, apparently.
Thurnibal?
Yeah. I don't know. Loads of people are spelling it differently on the text, so I have no idea. Thurbril? Thurnibal?
Well, David in Limerick says it's called a censer.
I don't think that's it, David in Limerick, because I'm seeing lots of, like, Turnbill, Thurnibal, Thurnibal.
Thurnibal.
Someone says maybe he shot his wife too. You'd never know. Like, I mean, you say that as a joke text, or maybe you don't, because that's like, this guy will shoot anything. He shot his defense minister with like a missile or something, apparently, from what I'm reading. But look.
And Chris, we have to give a big shout out to Michael in Mayo. He says, you're silent, but always there, listener.
Oh, well, thank you, Michael. It was nice to hear from you.
God, hey, it's amazing the amount of people that knew that that's called a turnable.
I know, that's what I'm looking through the text. I'm like, wow, people really know they're incense dispensers at churches. So there you go. Sorry about that. Excuse me, Q.
It's okay, Chris.
Do you want to ask me now? Or
no, no, it's cool.
Okay.
I didn't realise the mic was...
About to be on. Well, it's on now. Guess I'll have to wait. There you go. See you with Chandelier here on 2FM. Morning, everybody. 27 minutes past midnight. What's going on? My name is Chris. This wonderful woman. Her name is Kier.
Hello.
And I would love to know what it is you do. I'm trying to be like sexy and sultry.
I know, what I'm saying?
Chris, yeah, this wonderful woman. Yeah, sexy nude. But anyway, we are asking you what it is you're doing awake because there is always interesting stuff going on at this hour of the night. I mean, there is always, you know, weird devilment and oddness and that kind of stuff. So 51552. That's what I'm asking you. What is it that you're doing awake? Someone is doing the old dilemma of to study or not to study. Man, the amount of people I've seen on like Twitter and stuff this week that are like, I just cannot take any more study. Because most college exams are now.
Mm-hmm.
As in, like, you're going to... Lads, stop whinging. You're going to be done in, like, a week. Like, I mean, don't get me wrong. I know everything is relative. And I know when you're in that moment and you're studying for them, it's difficult and it's really difficult and it's really annoying and it's like a constant weight on your mind. Just do it. You know what I mean? It's not.
You're nearly there. You're on the home stretch.
It's not that difficult.
Think of the fun you'll have after you finish studying.
Exactly. Lads, it's not the worst in the world. And if you're in college and, you know, you got like 3 months off. I know you'll probably be working for those 3 months, but Jesus, it'll be not that difficult a job. Do you know what I mean? It'll be fun. Do you know what? For most people. So lads, and obviously commiserations to anyone who isn't in that situation, but I'm sure it's not the most difficult thing in the world. Someone says on Tinder, it's too addictive, lol. You know, I have never used Tinder. I mean, I don't really do any of that stuff. And I'm pretty sure you need a Facebook to use Tinder. But I have used it like for my friends and stuff. As in male and female friends. I'd be like, no, give me the Tinder. I'll do it for you. And, you know, I'd be like, okay, he would be good for you. Yeah, absolutely. No, he wouldn't.
Do you
be,
put you know? That voice on when you talk to your male friends as well?
No, this is for the girls. So, oh, yes, I do put it on for the girls. To try and come across as friendly and non-threatening. Do you see what I'm saying? But I know with the lads, I'm like, yeah, you could do her. Yeah, definitely. And I'm really manly. But yeah, I do it for girls and guys, my female and male friends. I think Tinder is great fun. Like I can see if you're actually on there looking for something, it probably is very addictive.
A lot of people who have met their other halves on Tinder.
Oh yeah, I mean,
it's a big old ride fest in fairness, Chris. Let's call a spade a spade.
What's wrong with that?
The majority of people on there aren't exactly looking for a fulfilling relationship. But just randomly, you know, you might come across your lobster.
Yeah, exactly. By the way as well, big shout out to Blatherin Beauty on Twitter, who is a friend of the show, Up Late Blogging. That's what has her awake at this hour. Also, yeah, so go
Helen
ahead.
Helen says, well, I'm awake because I just finished work at midnight in Dublin Airport. I'm pretty weird. Thanks for introducing me to Jared James. That was a very pleasant discovery. Regards, Helen. Probably our most polite texter to the show.
Yeah, well, regards to you,
well,
Helen.
Regards to you, Helen.
Absolutely. Also, someone says, I'm up in the van doing a bit of praying to my new church. Smoke up. I think that must be in reference to the man who we had on earlier from the Church of Cannabis, I would imagine. Is that what that is? Mm. Also, someone says, I'm awake as I'm still buzzing since I got the all clear from cancer yesterday, Tommy in Dundalk.
Well done, Tommy.
Jesus, Tommy, I can imagine you would be in good form after that. So I'm delighted to hear that.
Here's to a happy, healthy life, eh?
Yeah, most definitely. That's awesome news, Tommy. So well done. I'm delighted to hear that. I also want to give a big shout out to, there's a few people I wanted to say hello to on Twitter who were saying hello and letting us know that they're awake. I wanted to say hey to Connor, who's checking in, saying hi. Also to Walshy, who is checking in and saying hello as well. What's happening, Walshy? What I love as well is people are still answering that question of what's the thing you use to spread incense? The word is a thurible. Thurible. So thank you, everybody.
And it is a metal sensor suspended from chains in which incense is burned during worship services.
Yeah, and they like spread it around the coffin. It's so, we're so Irish as well, is it? That's the only time we have any reference for it. You know when there's a funeral? You know the thing at a funeral, like that's how we identify it. But anyway, how about this? Every evening, we finish the show with the national anthem, but also with a review of the show from Kira. So I would ask now, a few people I wanted to say hi to. Emma, Don and Lizzie are saying hi, as well as that. Also, I want to say hey to someone who is Aaron Malachoresh Gagaliev. Oh, and Uav. Well, there you go. Uav is Navin, I think, in Irish. It's a weird one because a lot of Irish names, like it's pretty obvious what the equivalent in English is. But I'm pretty sure Uav is Navin. But anyway, there you go. Adele in Sligo says, I met my man on Tinder.
You go, girlfriend.
Also, Harry and Anthony are driving back to Wexford from Dublin Airport after a week in sunny Spain. Well, there
and
you go.
Also, Chris, a big shout out to Carmel who says, hey, Chris and Kira, I'm awake because I'm here at work on night duty and she wants us to play something lively to keep her going.
Well, Carmel, there is a lot lively on the way. Years and Years Desire is very, very lively. That's on the way in just a second. However, first, what we need to do is I would ask that you stand, if it's safe to do so, for the national anthem, sure, but more importantly, for the review of the show that Kira is about to give. Thank you.
Thank you, Chris. Well, we started the show playing the fake celebrity news quiz with Miss Emma Power, and Emma won. We talked to Bill Levin, the Minister of Love in the First Church of Cannabis, about his new religious movement. It was all about love on the show.
He was very cool.
He was cool. Blind Boy from the Rubber Bandits was on to talk about Prince Charles and voyeurism. I talked about completing a trial 10K run today in preparation for the VHI Mini Marathon. We talked about Kim Jong-un criticising turtle factories in North Korea for not producing more lobsters.
He's dead right.
True story.
He's dead right to criticise.
Let me finish the show as we always do, asking the wonderful Irish public what it is they're doing awake.
Wow. Well, that was some show. All right, look, for myself, Chris, goodbye from Kira.
Goodbye.
Kira. 2FM.